This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, we're in the holiday season now.
I know.
You know that, don't you?
It's officially December, and I can't believe it. I know we went through Thanksgiving and all that, but it's just to know that we are now officially in December, it's just reality hit me in the face.
Is your tree up? Is everything trimmed? Everything ready?
Yes. We were a little bit late because for some reason time got away with us. And so we didn't do it until a couple of days ago. But yes, we're all up and ready. Oh, and I meant to ask you last week and I forgot how the lights went. Did the light people come out and get them all up?
They have done a beautiful job. The only thing, they put some candy canes upside down on the fence. That we handled that. We had a few incidents, but not anything serious. And the sign that says Merry Christmas does not go between the deers.
Oh.
You know, it does not go there. It goes on the fence. So we fixed that. And other than that, everything's pretty much fixed.
Wow.
I mean, that's really the only mistakes they made. And I thought everybody spoke English, but I was wrong, and that's how those two little items happen. My guy speaks excellent English, but his help doesn't, and I didn't know that. And here we are telling them all this stuff, and it's just like water. You know, they didn't get that.
Yeah.
They just shook their head yes, and what they're really saying is whatever you're saying, fine. We don't know what you're saying.
That's kind of how I go through every day myself.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
But, yes, all the lights are up. We did it in one day.
Wow.
He asked me how long it usually takes someone to do them. And I said, well, it always takes, you know, 4 to 6 hours. And I think they took 6 or 7 to get them all up.
Oh, wow. Well, it sounds like, though, that it went much smoother this year than last year.
It was much smoother than last year. We had a lot of problems last year. They also put the tree together for me.
Really?
The tree, it comes in 3 sections, and it's very heavy. You can't do it by yourself. So they did that. So everything, you know, just is ready to go.
Wow. Well, then, goodness.
Yeah, we got everything done in one day.
That's fantastic. Did they do the gazebo? Didn't you do the gazebo last
year?
Yes,
they did the house first because you've got all the eaves. Then they did the gazebo, then the fence, then the animals.
Wow.
Oh, and I think it was maybe it was a snowman. They had a little, wasn't quite right, put it together right. But we took care of that. We redid that. So he's standing proud now.
Wow. Boy, what a change from last year. It sounds like they were nice, they were polite, they were professional, they came out, did it all the right way, and golly, it doesn't sound like it could go any smoother if you tried.
No, I mean, it was a good job, you know, and they were the low bidder, by the way.
Really?
But I knew them, so I was not worried about it being the low bid.
Is this the people that you've used these people before, right?
These people do my lawn all the time.
Okay, they're the landscaper.
So I knew them real well. That's why when they told me that they do 100 houses a year, I said, well, okay, I'll let you do it. You know, and I was thankful I did because as far as I know, they had no issues, you know, and they didn't realize, you know, a little thing like turning the candy canes upside down or the you know, the bear not getting it together right.
Yeah.
You know, just little things like that. But everything else was professional. They did a good job. They had the ladders. They had all the correct equipment. Wow. So you know they've been doing it a while.
Yeah. So they were kind of, even though it took like 7 hours, they were still in, they were out, no follow-ups, no complaints, anything like that. That's
no.
wonderful.
And you remember the disaster I had last year.
yeah.
And we had to have the house redone. Oh, what a nightmare it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, when somebody doesn't know what they're doing and they mess it up, then you have to hire someone to redo it. It's not a great deal.
No, it's not. It's expensive. It's time-consuming. It's frustrated. So, yeah, that's why it was a big concern because I remember the story from last year, and it seemed like, because I remember it now, we were talking about this year and how you were planning for it, and it seems like when you said that they had mentioned that they do like 100 a year, that's the one we did some quick math with and figured out that you can make a fortune at hanging lights.
That's right. We figured it's $250,000. I mean,
Lord.
We said we're in the wrong business. I mean, you can do that in 3 months or really 2 months and make that kind of money.
Yeah.
And can you imagine every town has got maybe 100,000 houses?
Oh, geez,
or maybe 25,000? It's a lot of lights, and everybody wants their lights done.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know how many people do lights, but it's got to be a lot.
You would think, yeah. And then there was that one company. Didn't you use one company a year or two ago, maybe two or three? They had like trucks with like logos and all this fancy overhead, and then they just kind of like went out of business. They took it too far.
That's right. They had all kinds of it. Nice trucks, uniform drivers, everything. And I thought at the time, you know, I don't believe you can survive it being that upper class.
Yeah.
I mean, this is pretty just Levi type deal.
yeah.
You know what I mean? And they did go out of business, and it's a shame. They did an excellent job for me. They were polite. They were nice. The owners came out and helped. And, you know, I mean, they just did a good, super job. And then for them to go out of business, I felt bad about that.
Yeah, that's just way too much unnecessary overhead. But at least, you know, these your landscaper did a great job, and you can go ahead and book them for next year. You shouldn't have too much trouble tracking them down since they're there
that's
all the
right.
time.
And, so, you know, I'm always telling you about this. Never give your lights to the light man.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been reading where all these people say, oh, they want us to let them hold the lights, and they'll bring them out every year. I said, don't do that. Mm. Keep those lights in your garage. And on the neighborhood watch, some people wrote in and said, our guy has disappeared. He's got our lights.
Oh.
And we can't find him this year.
No.
And I go, oh, my gosh. The guy went out of business, and he took their lights.
Yeah.
And that's an expensive deal to, you know, have to start over, do all your lights again.
Yeah. Jeez.
And, the inconvenience is really bad.
Yeah, it is. And you can't get, it's not like you
can't imagine if a guy was going out of business, why didn't he call all of them and say, I've got your lights, let me bring them to you?
Probably sold them.
Oh, okay.
I'm guessing.
I didn't think about that.
Probably
you
made
it. I wasn't thinking about that. I just knew he went out of business and stopped thinking, you know. But you probably came up with the right idea.
Probably made a small fortune. So what about your shopping? Are you already done? Have you started?
But I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
All right.
All my discount places, fragrance.net, you know, they have huge discounts on everything. And then I've been on QVC.
Oh, yeah.
You know, QVC. And I didn't know that everybody but me has shopped there for 30 years. I had no idea.
Really? Okay, well, then it's you and me.
Yes, I talked to... I didn't know till you know a month ago about QVC and all the products they have. They discount them, and then they have this deal of the day. And another customer told me about that you check it every day, and it'll tell you every day the deal of the day, which will be a huge discount.
Jeez. I had never paid any attention or watched or really anything, but then you mentioned that you got hooked in it, and it's really quite fascinating. They have things that you didn't even know you needed and great products. And then I saw a commercial the other day, and they actually came on, and all the things that you said were what was in their commercial. So I'm thinking, well, geez.
I'll be darned.
Faye should be a spokesperson for them.
I should, because, you know, first of all, it was products I never heard of. Mm-hmm. The products were, you know, guaranteed. They were something that every person could use. And they tried them out. They showed how to do it. And then all the cooking things, new things you and I wouldn't even think about, that's new on the market. They test them, they show them, and they cook with them to show you how it works.
Wow. So you can see it in action.
Yeah. And then on shoes, and I didn't know this, they've advertised shoes on QVC, I guess. They said 26 years.
Really?
So they wear the shoes. They tell you how they wear, how they work. I mean, it's over my head.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Well, I tell you what, since you mentioned all that, our holiday shopping routine might be changing drastically this year.
Well, it should be, because they discount everything tremendously. And they'll tell you what the retail price is and what their price is. They'll tell you how much they've discounted, and then they figure up what the cost of shipping is, and that's all free right now. They're giving free shipping on everything they're doing.
Really?
So, that, you know, you're saving a lot. If you were going to go and order from somebody else, go check the QVC price and see what you can buy it for.
Huh. Well, boy, now you've opened up my eyes to a whole new experience.
Yes. So, you know, we're already learning things.
Yeah. The holiday rush is on, and I may not even have to get off the couch.
That's right. That's what everybody's telling me. They don't even have to, because you just have it shipped to your favorite person, and it says to and from. They have a card right there for you to sign.
Really?
I mean, this thing is convenient.
Wow. So they pretty much give it, like, they do it up as a gift. You can mark that ahead of time, and they'll, like, I guess, wrap it or put a tag on it or whatever.
Well, and I noticed on a lot of their gifts, they said, okay, here is the gift package. You put the ribbon around it, and you're ready to go. They said, we're enclosing the ribbon, the packaging, and they showed how you just drop it in, fix the deal, and go.
So you don't even have to, because sometimes you get a gift and then you got to go out and you got to get like the paper or the box or the ribbon and the tag and all that. You have to go get that separately. They take care of that for you. You don't even have to do anything else.
Not on everything, but some of them they do.
Wow. That's convenient. Yeah. That's a little too convenient.
It was.
Well.
And before we get down to business, the one thing that I thought was really neat, they have a knife sharpener that will sharpen knives, almost everything in your house. If you've got something out in the garage that you use in the yard, it will sharpen old rusty things, scissors. It just did it all. And it wasn't expensive. It'd be a great gift to give to people.
Wow.
I mean, everybody has their knives and they're dull, let me tell you.
Yeah, that's true. Knives, scissors, and, all of it.
And they say it's more dangerous to have a dull knife than a sharp one.
Yeah.
That you'll get hurt on a dull knife.
Yeah,
so,
you will.
I mean, the things they have are, you know, and Zakarian, you know, the guy that's on the Cooking Network.
Yes, the chef.
On Iron Chef. He's got a lot of products there. And he goes on and demonstrates all the things that he's designed.
Does he really?
Yes. I watched Zakarian on Sundays after church service. And he comes on and demonstrates all the things he's got going.
Does he, you say he comes on and demonstrates things he's designed. So he doesn't just like have like a pot of pans, a set of like pots and pans with like his name on it. He like creates.
He comes on and it'll say Zakarian. If you go to the website and you're looking for those products that you saw, it'll say Zakarian, you know, and so he comes on and, he's been doing it for years and years with QVC. And another lady that designs all this cookware, bakeware, she's been with QVC 23 years.
Really?
Yeah. So a lot of these people started years ago with them, and they were good, and their products were good, and they kept them.
Wow.
And because everything they do, you know, has to be super top of the line. And they'll say, they've got some KitchenAid products, and they say, these are just at QVC. This is an exclusive with QVC.
Boy, I bet their vetting process is pretty pretty intense before
they think it's really tough. You have to be really a star.
Wow. Well, that's cool. That's good to know. And I like the fact that they demonstrate it right there so you can see how it works and all that. Well, that changes everything.
So every product is discounted, okay?
All right. New experience this year. For sure.
That's right. I want everybody to know.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Let's get down to business. Has Santa come already for you?
No, Santa has not come, but I guarantee I'm looking for him.
What about policy-wise?
Okay, policy-wise, we're in a lot better shape than we were a week ago. We've got $1 million worth of policies that that we're going to be filling. We've already started, and this week we will be sending the invitations out to everybody. And, you know, last week we talked about we'd had three policies mature, and now we've had another one mature. And this one, we didn't do it till the last of June. We just got the paperwork done, and the lady has already passed away.
Really?
Yeah, she passed away in 3 months.
Wow, that was fast.
It was really fast. I'm glad we got it done because otherwise we would have been given the money back because they gave her 5 to 21 months. She didn't even make it to the 5 months, which was their lowest estimate.
Jeez.
But it was a Lapidus, and I've really got a lot of faith in Lapidus. Seems like the Lapidus is very, very good. You know, we took them on because they are so good. And lots of times I will request a Lapidus because I like the way they write them. And they're scientists. And by golly, I think that's what we need nowadays.
And Lapidus they're the LE
yes, they are.
People. Okay.
Yes, they are. And they're scientists. And they go about this in a scientific way. And so far, they're doing a really great job. They're more than right.
Wow. Boy, it sounds like they're spot on as far as accuracy.
I believe they are because I'm really watching right now to see how many of theirs come due, you know, on time or early. And so I'm really watching them. As I said, we've had four maturities. I think we'll have several more maybe before the end of the month. And it'll make a great year for everybody. So that's what I'm hoping. And, of course, as I said, we've had such a hard time getting policies. We've had a lot of people just change their mind. We win it, and then they don't sign the contract. They just said, I don't think that's enough. And another one said, we think the lifespan is so short, we're going to keep it.
Oh, my word. So they'll take it back at the last minute.
That's right. Took it back at the last minute. We had three of those. And they were sizable policies. So, you know, I just don't know what's wrong with them. There's something wrong. Because we've never had this happen where, you know, people just change their mind.
Yeah.
And I think they think they're going to get more, but they're not. Because the three bidders, including us, pay more than anybody in the business.
Is it something that maybe like it's one thing if they want to play hardball, do you think it's something that is being driven by like the broker that is selling it for them that they're saying we can get more?
I think a lot of times the broker gives them bad information.
Well, that's too bad. Everybody loses with that kind of a situation. You know, especially...
Yes, they do.
You've said before that, you know, sometimes when they'll play that kind of a game, they'll say, okay, here's the thing, and then you'll bid on it, and they'll say, okay, and then they'll take it back, and they'll change their mind, and then they come back around 6 months later. You don't play games like that. You're either in or you're out, right?
That's exactly right.
Well, then that's fantastic. Then I guess things are turning around nicely. Didn't this something like that happen last year at fourth quarter? Like it was like it seemed like it was kind of like slow for a little while, and then all of a sudden in like December, was it last year that you got a major policy right at the last minute? Or
seems like we did a large one,
yeah,
and closed right at the end of the year. I'm hoping that we'll get another one or two large ones to get everybody's money invested, because I believe we've got about $17 million right now that we need to get invested for people.
Yeah,
get them some profit here.
Boy, and if you can get a couple of big policies, that could go in a hurry, which would be good.
It would go in a hurry because people have been calling this last week saying, "I have money sitting here. Do you have anything for me?" And we're saying no. And the next day, we got the $1 million worth of policies.
That's great. That is
yeah,
fantastic.
Right after we'd said, you know, we don't have anything.
Just
because,
kidding.
And that happens all the time. We'll tell somebody, no, we don't have anything right now. You know, we got to wait. And sure enough, it'll come along, and there it is.
When you're kind of like that in-between stage, so say I'm invested, kind of, I've got a question, and I don't even know if this is a thing. So say I'm one of those people that was to call you like today and say, hey, we've got this money sitting here. Do you have anything we can invest in? Any new policies or anything like that? And you say no. And then all of a sudden you get one that comes in like the next day. It's kind of, sort of like this kind of a situation. In that in-between stage, you're not like – when you're bidding on things, you're not telling people about them until you actually get it, right? So that people don't...
No, we're not going to tell you because they could change their mind. Anything can go wrong. And we've done that. What we did once, back in the summer, we had a large policy. And what we did, we took a survey. We said, if we get this, do you want to go in it? And everybody completed the survey and said yes. So lots of times, if it's $2 or $3 million, we may survey them and see if they're all going to go in it, because that's a lot of money to raise.
Yeah. And it didn't you have one that was, and I only remember one, and it seems like it's been a while ago, maybe a couple of years, but didn't you have one big policy come in one time, and it was a good policy, and it was kind of slow to fill just because people were like on vacation or didn't see the email or something? Not because anybody thought it was a bad policy, just because people didn't see it. Did that happen once, or am I remembering that wrong?
Yeah, it seems like it did. A lot of people were out of town.
Yeah,
we were trying to find them, and we got everybody back in town and got it filled. But it didn't fill as quickly as it should have, because remember, it was in the summer, and a lot of people were on vacation. They were out of town. And our people do not read emails till they have to. Did you know that? they're not into emails. They're working hard all day, and that's the last thing on their mind is to answer their email. When I really need to communicate, I send a text.
Mm.
If I send a text, they'll answer. Yeah. So most of the time, if it's urgent like that, we send a text and say, go and read your email.
Yeah. Yeah. Because usually when you get those big policies, especially when so many people are you know, really wanting to get invested, when you have a big policy like that come in, that's usually pretty quick to fill, right?
That's right. And I mean, we've had policies that we filled in one afternoon.
Really?
But then we've had some that took 2 weeks. But, the one we did about a month ago, we did it in 2 days.
Oh, wow. That's fast.
It was fast. Everybody was ready. They were anxious to get money invested. It was just a matter of getting them to see the email and to call us or send an email. Because usually we just say, send us a quick email and say yes.
Yeah. And then it seems like there's been some
there's
that
been
will.
Times they've said, I need to read it first, and I'll call you back as soon as I read it.
Mm. It seems like there's been some times where, like, we'll talk about a brand new policy you'll get in on Saturday, and you say, okay, we're going to put this out, you know, on Monday. And we're like, that's a big policy. That's a good policy. That's going to go fast. And usually they're gone very, very quickly.
That's right. Mm. There's certain types of policies that everybody loves. And as we both know, we hardly ever get a pancreatic cancer. This one is a lady, and she not only has colon cancer, she's got ovarian cancer, she's got nodules in her lungs. I mean, she's got cancer in at least four places, and there's you cannot survive that. You know, there's just no way.
Yeah, it's just too much.
It's too much. If you have it in just one place and it hasn't spread, you've got a good chance. But by the time we get it, and ovarian cancer is so deadly, once it went there, I said, she doesn't have a prayer, doesn't have a chance. And it's also in her lungs, and her colon cancer is stage four itself, without all the other cancers. And she's lost 20 pounds.
Ooh.
And I said, I want that palsy. That's a good palsy.
Yeah.
And she's in her 40s.
Really? That's young.
She's very young.
Wow.
But, you know, it doesn't matter how old or how young you are when you get it. It's just, it's a battle. It's a tough battle.
Yeah, it is. Okay, good. Well, then things are going well. Then is it, can we say, characterize things as going well for life settlements?
I think so. It's better than it was last week.
Now, what about annuities? I hate to change the subject or anything like that, but they've been so hot and people have been so interested. Is that passion still there for annuities, or are people kind of like...
Yes, it is. Okay. But they are changing it. You know, they've still got the bonuses. You can still get the 12%. You can still get the 20%. But now it looks like they're going to change how long you can get bonuses year after year.
Really?
I think so. I think the enhanced bonus, not the regular one, but the enhanced bonus, I think it's going to be for 3 years now rather than seven.
Oh.
So as you're putting more money in, it looks like you'll get the bonus for three rather than seven. So that's one change they've made to it.
So has that already taken place? Like, is that already?
No, I think that's going to take place very shortly. I think December 12th.
Okay, so if somebody wants to take advantage of the seven-year enhanced bonus, they better get on it.
They better get on it, because that's going to change on December 12th to 3 years on the enhanced bonus. Rather than seven.
Which is still good. I mean, 3 years is... there's
oh, heck yeah.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
You get 7% bonus every time for 7 years is a good thing, because that's not your profit. That's just a bonus. Then you've got your profit, your interest that's going to be applied to your account. And we're all counting on the interest, and the bonus is just that, a bonus. It's an extra. It's a great thing. I can't wait to see how this bonus deal plays out on all these, because, you know, we've invested the money in all these other investments in indexes in addition to their bonus. So we're going to see how that works out, what the profit is.
Jeez. It just, these things have been on fire for so long. It's almost like, you know, but I know, I think it was like, what, over the summer? I think they started with the... You know, you heard about the first bonus, and then things just kind of like took off like wildfire after that. But it seems like, you know, when you brought up the first one, I'm like, wow, this may end in 30 days or, you know, 60 days. I don't know. We're just kind of guessing at the time. And here we are several months later, and I keep thinking this has got to end at some point, or, you know, something's got to change. This can't go on forever like this. But
I knew that it would start to change, but I didn't know how much or, you know, when. And so now is our first changes on the bonuses. But the bonuses are great. It gives you that little up deal that you need. You know, you're getting quite a bit, so that, you know, that really helps.
Yeah.
You know, to get those bonuses. It's just an extra. It's and I love those extras.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's nice. It really helps. And, of course, people are making a profit, a good profit on their annuities. I was looking at one of my customers' statement that she'd been with me a long, long time, and she started out with $149,000.
Really?
And I think she's been with us maybe 12 years. I should have looked it up. And it's worth over $300,000 now.
Ooh, holy moly.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's made a good amount of money over the years.
Boy, that's almost double.
And it has almost doubled. And, you know, I've got several people that have made really good money over the years. I think we've had one or two bad years, in 12 or 14 years. But, you know, we've made so much over the years, it's been worth it.
Yeah.
Because it's solid. You get good returns. It's tax deferred. It's compound interest. There's just not anything bad about annuity. And then when you get a certain age, you just have to start taking money out. And you've built up enough interest that hopefully you won't ever get to the principal. You'll be taking interest out every year on your account. And you don't pay taxes on this, on IRAs or anything else. If it's in the annuity till you take it out. So it's all tax deferred, maybe 5 years, 10 years, you know, before you start taking it. Mm. So there's a lot of advantages to an annuity.
And they hold their value. So if something were to happen, like in the stock market, or if the bottom was to fall out again, they don't go down.
They okay. never go down. They may sit still, but they will never go down. Right. And you're never directly in the stock market. Well, that's what protects you. You're inside the annuity investing. You're not going over here to the stock market and getting, clobbered.
Yeah.
So there's so many advantages to an annuity, and especially when you get older, you're going to appreciate the value of an annuity because everybody's been talking about the real estate market, that it's just it's crashing. It's not good like it used to be. So, I recommend safety, security, and just easy go, nothing spectacular, just something that's safe, that you make money on. And at the end, you've still got your money.
Do you hear anything, speaking of like potential crashes or anything like that, do you hear any rumblings? I know we've always heard like certain things over the last couple of months, especially. We'll hear like little tidbits, little nuggets that potential, I don't want to say doom, but another crash, another potential 2008 ish maybe around the corner. Are you hearing any rumblings like that? Or
the bankers are saying we're fixing to have a recession.
Mm.
That's what the big banks are saying. Chase Bank is saying it. Jamie Dimon over there. Several of the others say we're fixing to have a recession. If we do, it could get kind of dicey.
Are they taking... Because I think sometimes it's one thing to hear what they say. It's another thing to watch what they do. Is that why? Now, is it Chase that's closing branches?
Yeah, they're closing a lot of their branches in different parts of the country. Several of the big banks are. Chase has announced, I think they're closing 13 branches. A lot of them are just cutting down because they say they can just drive to another location. Out here where I live, the Chase Bank branch had been there 38 years.
Wow.
They just mowed it down.
Really?
Mowed it down, said you can go somewhere else.
Wow, just like
that.
And
a lot of the big banks are doing this.
I know what they say and their reasoning for it and their excuse or whatever they say, but do you think it's really because they sense something coming or they know something and they're trying to cut back costs to reduce maybe the impact?
They're getting lean and mean.
Mm.
Lean and mean. They're going to get it down where you have to drive somewhere or you do it online. They don't really particularly want to see you. If you notice that banks, everything is online with banks.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even remember the last time I've actually
been
to a bank.
Have you ever tried to call when something is wrong?
That's a nightmare.
You find out there is no people involved.
Yeah.
It says push this button, push that button, get online. So, they're trying to save money. They're getting rid of their branches, just like some of these fast food restaurants, a lot of them are not profitable. They're closing a lot of them because they're not profitable.
Yeah. I saw, speaking of fast food, I saw something a couple weeks ago, how there's a McDonald's someplace that they are building, and I think it's just one for now. There may be more, but they're building a McDonald's that will be completely automated. You won't have a single person in there. It'll make like all the orders. It'll make the sandwiches. It'll put it all together. The entire thing is automated and AI driven. Yep, all robot.
Can you imagine when you drive up and the robot thanks you said to pour the coffee?
Yeah.
And pours it out the window.
Yeah, yeah. Or
I can't wait to see what happens.
What happens if your order is wrong? Who are you going to yell at? A robot?
Yeah, the robot just says thank you.
Yeah.
You know, drive on.
Yeah.
That's what the robot's going to say.
Have a nice day.
Oh, my gosh. But, you know, I read the other day where they, instead of a cook, they now have a robot that's cooking all the food, and they say it's working.
Is it really?
That's what they said.
Boy.
That the robot is handling it very efficiently. But I guarantee something will go wrong, and that robot will probably just throw everything out the window.
Yeah.
Or break all the dishes.
Yeah.
I just can't believe that robot is not going to, you know, mess up.
The robot's going to go rogue and just break everything.
That's what I think will happen, you know, but I may be wrong. Now, I've seen in a lot of the big manufacturing, that is all robots, and it works.
Yeah.
You know, the robot takes the orders, fills the orders, can go back there, get your packages, knows what to do, puts them in the right place, boxes. I mean, robots can do an awful lot of things, especially in manufacturing. But I'm just not sure at the drive-in window how that's going to work.
Yeah, I don't know what that how that's going to work, what the experience is going to be like, but it's kind of scary to think that, you know, all these there's a number of I guess industries or you know, careers where we never thought, you know, 10, 15 years ago, we thought no matter what happens, you're always going to need somebody here to make, you know, the sandwiches or place the order or fulfill the order or talk to customers or, you know, whatever it is. And all these positions we had thought at one point were irreplaceable that you have to have a person with are now done with machines. And it sounds like it works in many cases. That's kind of scary. What do you think that will do long term to the economy? Do you think that that's strengthening things, or do you think that it's making things a little bit worse? Because if you've got the job market, you know, if people are being replaced and all of a sudden people who used to work are...
Well, you take all these people that are getting $15 to $18 an hour to start, especially in California, you know, it's a law.
Yeah.
You've got to pay them at least $15. And these are high school kids or dropouts that work in fast food restaurants. So rather than paying them $15 an hour to hand you a Coke or a Dr. Pepper, they're going to have to do something like that. They're going to have to go to robots to survive because the laws are so tough in some of these states. You either have to be union or you have to get a huge sum just to work at a drive-in.
Yeah.
And they don't understand money or economics. They're just a little bit off.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder what's going to happen long term to the job market and how that's going to affect things. The other thing I saw, though, is that I saw something, and I can't remember if it was, I think, 2035 or something like that. There was a year where they predicted that by that time, AI technology, like all these robots and stuff that we're seeing take over, are going to be, let me see if I say this right, they are going to be able to think for themselves without human input or something like that. Not
that's
to make
a
it
scary thought.
I know it. I don't want to make it sound like the robots are taking over and it's the robot uprising and all that weirdness.
You're gonna be into science fiction.
I know it.
Making movies.
I certainly don't want to sound like that, but it was a credible, reputable source that was saying this, and I thought, my goodness, what does that do to, you know, people, to like the job market, to
they're gonna have to get some skills for a change.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they had to have skills?
Oh my goodness,
that's a new wrinkle, isn't it?
What are we gonna do?
I mean, the liberal colleges are not teaching them how to do much. You know, I mean, if you get a degree in Tinker Toys, it's just not going to help a lot.
Tinker Toys. Know? I hadn't thought about Tinker Toys. Yeah. Remember when we had to go play when we were growing up and we had to use our imagination?
Yes. And novel that doesn't happen much anymore.
No.
Can you imagine nowadays when you tell the children, you must go outside and play? And they go, but I was on my iPad.
Yeah.
You know, I was on my iPad. I mean, you know, everything is either iPad, a computer, a phone. A lot of the things are gone now that kids should be doing, and it's quite a shame.
Yeah.
You know, that they're not doing the things that kids used to do outside.
I know it. I know it. It was always great to go run and play, and your parents would tell you, now, go outside and don't come back until dark or supper time.
That's right. They'd say, now you go outside and play. Watch Sally, your little sister. Don't let her get hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you and all the neighbor kids, everybody got their bikes. They went and explored places. You never even knew where they were.
Yeah.
And it was safe. The neighbors looked out for your kids. And they came back. They were dirty but happy. And it was a great life.
It really was. My, how times have changed. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we take a break. We get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Roger Miller. Do you remember the singer Roger Miller?
Yes.
He was one of the greatest singers, don't you think?
Yes. They don't have singers like him anymore.
And what do you remember what his greatest hit was?
Greatest? I don't know. Which one is the best?
King of the Road.
Of course.
And then Dang Me. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And then England Swings. That was the three biggest ones. You know, he's born in Fort Worth. His parents were real poor during the Depression. They sent him over to Erick, Oklahoma. I have a lot of relatives in Erick, Oklahoma, by the way.
Oh.
And they said they had a photograph of him when he was about seven.
Really?
So, yeah, that's what they tell me. Anyway, he began his music career writing songs in the late 50s. If you remember, one of his biggest hits was Billy Bayou.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote that for Jim Reeves. And he wrote Invitation to the Blues for Ray Price. He knew all of them. Do you realize that? And his career started in the mid-60s, and he toured into the 1990s. His final top country hits was Old Friends with Ray Price and Willie Nelson.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he was in the Disney animated film, Robin Hood.
Was
and
he?
And he wrote the music and lyrics for that.
Now, was that, Robin Hood, Little John hopping through the forest, doodle-a-doodle-a.
That's right.
So I can never
That's
remember
exactly
the words.
Right.
I always mess them up, but yeah.
And then he wrote the music and lyrics for the Tony Award Broadway musical, Big River.
Yep.
He died of lung cancer in 1992. He was inducted in the Country Music Hall of Fame 3 years later. But his songs were just amazing. You know, he grew up poor, couldn't even afford a guitar. And one day he stole a guitar. And because he wanted to play so doggone bad. And, of course, he knew it was wrong. He went and took it back the next day. yeah, and he was a member of FAA. Remember when they had FFA? Gosh.
Jeez, that's been so long ago.
It was, and everybody had a calf or a goat or a pig they raised and, showed them. Can you imagine kids doing that nowadays?
No.
Far between.
Do they still have Future Farmers of America? Is it still
They do, but I think it's called something else now.
Oh.
But he used to listen to the Grand Ole Opry and the Light Crust Doughboys. If you remember, they were on a Fort Worth station. We'll never forget them. But Sheb Woolley was his cousin's husband.
Really?
And Yeah, and Chip Willie taught him his first chords and bought him a fiddle. And he knew Hank Williams, Bob Wills, and they were the ones that really led him to be a singer. He performed in Oklahoma and Texas, but after he stole that guitar out of desperation, you know, he decided to enlist in the U.S. Army because he's afraid he's going to go to jail, and he's only 17.
Oh, Lord.
And he said his education was Korea Clash of 52.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And then he went to Nashville to begin a music career. He met Chet Atkins, who asked him to sing. But, you know, he wasn't ready. He loaned him a guitar. He didn't even own one. And he played it, and he sang a song in two different keys.
Really?
He said, "Son, you come back when you've got more experience." So he started out as a bellhop at the Nashville's Andrew Jackson Hotel.
Oh.
And he was known as the singing bellboy. And he finally met Minnie Pearl. And she asked him to play the fiddle in her band. He had never played fiddle.
What?
I can imagine.
How did that happen?
He met George Jones, and George Jones really helped him. He introduced him to all the music executives from Starday Records, and they were impressed when they heard him sing. He sang Tall, Tall Trees and Happy Child.
Mm.
And then, of course, he got married, became a father, put his music career away. I didn't even remember that. And he was a fireman in Amarillo, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And he was performing at night, but he said he only saw two fires, one in a chicken coop, and he slept through the other one. and they kicked his butt out and said, you know, you can't work for us. So then he met Ray Price, and he became a member of his Cherokee Cowboys. And he went to Rex Allen and Ray Price, and he had three hits on the country charts immediately. And he was getting salary of $50 a week. And he did a song with Half of Mine with Ernest Tubb and Farron Young. But that's when he wrote Billy Bayou, which I love that song.
Hmm.
And in the 1950s, he became one of the biggest songwriters of our time. They say he was the most talented and least disciplined singer of our time. Nobody could contain him. He's just too crazy. He said some songs he wrote in 4 minutes.
Really? That's...
I mean, that's how good he was.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, and he signed with Decca Records in 58, and they put him with Jimmy Paycheck, and that was the start of it. And he wrote The Wrong Kind of Girl, which I don't remember that one. And then he went on to tour with Farron Young's band, and he was a drummer.
Really?
And he said he had never drummed in his life. Then he signed a record deal with Chet Atkins on RCA, and he recorded You Don't Want My Love. And a real breakthrough the top when two worlds collide. And he sang that with Bill Anderson. And then he got tired of writing songs, divorced his wife, and started to party again.
Oh, my.
His record label threw him out. I mean, this boy just could not pay attention.
Wow.
And in 1970, he opened the King of the Road Inn in Nashville. I mean, he wanted to do that. And so his King of the Road Inn was famous for a time. But he continued to play along. He was recording pretty good, and he did the Broadway score for Mark Twain's Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. He had not read the novel, but after he discovered the story, it brought him back to his childhood. And he said it took him a year and a half to write the opening. You know, he's just. And he acted the part of Huck Finn's father for 3 months after John Goodwin exited the role. Then he left for Hollywood. And he played on Quincy. I didn't remember he ever played on Quincy.
Really? I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then he played a country and western singer And I didn't remember that on Quincy.
I don't remember that either.
Hmm. Yeah, and then he left for Santa Fe, and he co-wrote with Dwight Yoakam, "It Only Hurts When I Cry."
Ooh, really?
Yeah, remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, and then he wrote "If There Was a Way," and it provided the background vocals on it. But, you know, it was amazing. He could do anything. And, you know, all these different singers, they organized with him. They wrote songs with him. And he was just kind of lazy daisy going through life. But
I never realized that he had the attention span of a gnat. It's like
he did.
He's set his career, really his whole life, on fire a couple of times. And just
he did.
Turned it down.
But they said he could do jazz, he could do blues, he could do pop, he could do country western, and he the children's film Robin Hood. You know, he did the song "Odalali."
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just amazing what all the guy could do when he wanted to.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was married 3 times and had 8 children. Can you imagine?
Really? I didn't know that.
I mean, it was like everything else he did, you know? That last girl, Lee Kendrick, she was from San Antonio, and they had 2 children. But he was married a total of 14 years. He divorced the last one in his mid-70s.
Really?
Yeah. Then he married Mary Arnold. He met her through Kenny Rogers. So, you know, it's just amazing. And his wife was a backup singer at the White House before President Gerald Ford.
Really? That's kind of
cool.
Yeah,
and in 2009, she was inducted into the Iowa Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Yeah, so she, you know, was a good singer also. And he also wrote "Dad Blame Anything I Man Can't Quit." But, you know, he was a lifelong smoker.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that. And that's what killed him was a lung cancer, all that dead gum smoking.
Jeez. I guess when you're going through your day-to-day life, you don't really realize all these things until you step back several years later, put it all in a capsule, and look at it as a whole. It's like, holy moly, how did he even stay focused long enough to do anything? And then to burn everything down, come back, burn everything down, come back, change course, do something different. I'm just shocked that, you know, he was, people asked him to be a fiddler, he never played fiddle, asked him to be a drummer, never played drums.
Yeah, he never had done that.
How does any of that
and
happen?
He won 11 Grammy Awards.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, you know, I can't even imagine. In 1964 through 2003, Country Music Hall of Fame, Country Hall of Fame song, Dang Me, 1998 Grammy Hall of Fame song, King of the Road, Tony Award for Best Score in Drama, you know, for Outstanding Lyrics for Big River.
Jeez.
Academy of Country and Western Music, Man of the Year.
Mm.
1965 Academy of Country and Western Music for Best Songwriter.
Wow. And speaking of songwriting, I'm shocked that he wrote songs in like literally 4 minutes. I mean, that never happens, like ever.
And then for that Broadway play, it took a year and a half. He was doing something else, I guarantee.
Oh, yeah. He was busy, unfocused.
Yeah. And Dang Me, in 1964, won Best Country Song, Best Country and Western Recording, Best Country and Western Performance, Best Country and Western Album. That one song. Won 4 awards in 1964.
Wow. They don't...
So he's very talented. He was just undisciplined. You know, yeah. He just did his own thing.
Wow. I'm just, they don't make people like that anymore. You know, him.
No, they don't. They can sing anything. I loved when he came on television and perform and sing. I loved listening to him on the radio. It's just his personal life just wasn't worth a heck.
Yeah, it was kind of a mess.
He was a mess.
Wow. Yeah, and the fact that he could sing so much, you know, he could do, you know, country, he could do jazz, he could act, he could do all these different things. Boy, imagine not to take away from his success as it is, but imagine if he had stayed focused, what he could probably have done. Wow. It's impressive that he was...
Can you imagine if he'd been focused, what he could have really done?
I know it. I know, right? Wow. Hmm. They don't make people like Roger Miller anymore. That's for sure.
No, and he had a fun life. You know,
yeah.
It seems like he was just lazy daisy, come what may. If he worked, fine. If he didn't, it didn't seem to matter.
Maybe we should all be more like that. We would stress a lot less.
We would stress a lot, but we might not eat.
Well, that's true.
You know, it might be kind of hard.
It's a trade-off. Oh, boy.
That's right.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMedlin.com. And you know, another thing we hardly ever mention, we've been a member of the Better Business Bureau for over 20 years.
You know, we don't.
And we're A-plus rated company.
That's a really big deal. And
it is a big deal. You know, the Better Business Bureau the other day went on a tour. I don't think I've ever told you this. They set up a tour a month ago. They had luncheons and deals here in Dallas. They went to Wichita Falls and they went to Lubbock.
Really?
To meet people. I've never heard of such in all my life.
I didn't know they
but
did
they
that.
They did.
Wow.
Yeah, they wanted to meet the people.
Huh.
And so they took a tour of Texas.
What?
How about that?
Neat.
I thought it was very cool. Because, you know, usually people like that are very standoffish and, you know, they don't talk to people and, you know.
Yeah, they're kind of like behind that wall of secrecy. It's so.
Yeah, that wall, you know, between us.
Yeah.
There is none with them. They're very nice people.
That's great. Okay, real quick before we wrap up, we should run down the risks with a life settlement. There are two. What's the biggest?
The biggest risk is it could go over and you might have to pay premiums. You need to always know that. But remember, we always tell you up front what the premium will be so you always know. It used to be on page 14. It's now at the end of the contract. But when we send you an invitation, we tell you everything. And the second one is it is not liquid till it matures. You need to always know that. It's not liquid till it matures.
Okay. And you've already been through accreditation, so people know what that is. And with that, considering that you do have to be accredited, the risks really aren't that impactful for most people. So I assume you are business as usual this coming week. Yes.
Yes, we've been busy. We've been doing a lot of life settlements. We've been doing annuities, making transfers, as I talked about it, getting that done. And a lot of people, if they need to do some of those things, we'll be glad to handle it and get them on the right deal before they have to start taking money out.
And so one last time for people to call you, come in, do some transfers, get some information, get started, whether it's annuities or life settlements. One last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMedlin.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.